This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Kevin and Jan Bradford on the line from Wycliffe USA, and they work with a different organization called SIL, but we're talking today through Wycliffe. And Kevin and Jan were missionaries in Cameroon from 2011 to 2020 before transitioning to the U.S. and supporting the work remotely. And Kevin has given me a ton of great background information through email, and I'll cover more of those details in the web. But first, I wanted to talk about what they're doing now. And Kevin, I've got a few questions for you first. Can you unpack the remote work that you do and explain how that helps the translation team and kind of what the status of the project is now?
Well, I worked as a language technology consultant over in Cameroon, supporting multiple translation teams. I was involved in about 19 different New Testaments to this point. Now that we are working remotely from the U.S. for the near future, at least, I am doing things to support the translation and literacy teams. One of the first things I'm doing is increasing the amount of resources that the Bible translators and exegetes have in French, because there are many more resources in English than are available in French. And there's just a great need for training and for resources, not only for translation teams, but also for pastors and trainers in Western Africa or in the Francophone Africa area. I'm also going to be supporting courses. We do various courses helping Bible translators use software, helping to develop literacy materials. And I can do a lot of that remotely now, especially as more and more internet capability is available in the capital, where we're doing a lot of our training now.
Yeah, and I wanted to hit on the security issues. There were some major ones a few years ago. There were Bible translators that were killed. And during that period, I understand you served in a crisis management kind of role. Can you explain how those instances affected your role and kind of how the persecution affected the translation team?
All right. Now, you know, I think when, you know, our passion is for the unreached people of the world to have access to the gospel and to scripture. And when you get called to, you know, most of the unreached peoples right now are unreached for reasons. So there are difficulties and sometimes sacrifices that need to be made in order to reach them and to work in those areas. We were very blessed, I think, generally, that we did not lose anyone to violence while we were there. God was good. There was tension at times, but there were other organizations that lost people, and there still is violence that affects our partners and our staff there that they have to be careful of. Wycliffe and SIL do a very good job of having a trained crisis management team available who is able to research and make decisions on when things have to be done to help ensure the safety of our staff. And I was part of that. I was the chair of the crisis management team for a period of about 4 years there during that time.
The U.S. just granted Cameroon refugees temporary protected status for 18 months because of the ongoing violence and dangers. What kind of, if you can, I know there are security restrictions, but is there anything, any way that you can help our listeners and readers understand some of the dangers that Bible translators face and how we can pray for them?
Yeah, they're... You know, it was interesting. I read recently a lot about Ukraine and what's going on there. And if you look at worldwide, there is unrest and violence over a very large section of the world right now. And every one of those locations has our brothers and sisters who are working within the church and in parachurch organizations to further the gospel and expand the kingdom and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And I would encourage everyone to pray for their protection and for boldness and for the Lord to use them in the places they are. You know, we are called called to go and spread the word and make disciples of the entire earth. And there are many of us that are doing that. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the places where we need to do that, there are dangers that we're not used to. And so I would encourage you to continue to pray that God would protect missionaries and their families in these areas, but even more so that God would help his word to penetrate those areas where there often is hostility to the gospel as well as the gospel workers.
Great. Thank you so much, Kevin. And Jan, I'm going to turn to you, and I've got a few questions for you as well. And I understand you're pursuing your master's in mental health counseling. Can you explain what made you want to do that?
It's something that I had thought of for a long time. And the main reason, I think, is because when we were in Cameroon, I experienced symptoms of burnout. And so I had to come back to the U.S. and Wycliffe has a counseling center in North Carolina. And so we spent a year here. And I was greatly helped through the counseling center, and my counselor walked with me through how to reduce my stress level in Cameroon, and that had a huge impact on me. And because of that, we were able to go back to Cameroon for another 4-year term. And if I had not had that help, I could not have gone back. And so I want to be able to give back and to be that kind of help to others who might be experiencing something similar to what I went through.
Awesome. Thank you. And I understand one of the things you might be involved with is the trauma healing program. And I actually, for MNN, wrote an article about when this was rolling out in the CAR. But what will it look like in Cameroon?
Well, there is already a lot of the trauma healing happening in Cameroon. It's been there for several years, and they've had a lot of training classes for the trauma healing with pastors and leaders. And just to give one little example of the impact, I have a counselor friend who was involved in some of those training classes. And at one particular class that she was at, there was a pastor who, during the middle of the class, got word that his teenage son was in trouble, and he had to leave the class and go and deal with his son. And because of the principles that he had learned during that training class, instead of coming down hard on his son the way he was used to doing when he got in trouble, he was able to listen. And he and his son connected, and he found out that his son was really just acting out of some trauma that he had experienced. And so it made a huge impact on him and his relationship with his son. And he was able to come back to the class and finish out the training and to give the testimony of how that had impacted his life and his son's life.
And, you know, I looked at some of these roles that you've been involved with, and now you were both hostel parents at one point, and Jan was a guidance counselor at the international school, and now, Jan, you're serving or in training as a career development specialist. All of these has some element of counseling or guidance advisor. What is the biggest challenge that you've come across, or the biggest challenge you face in these types of roles?
That might take a little thought.
That's okay. I mean, I was just thinking, like, for me, if I was in that role, if people didn't listen to me, that would be a great challenge or frustration. So I didn't know, you know, is that true? What have you faced?
Well, I was just trying to think of, when I was working at RFIS, I didn't find much resistance from the students because they were just really hungry for somebody to be there for them. And I had one particular gal, she was Korean, and I was working with her to apply to universities in North America. And her parents, being Korean, didn't know anything about the university system in North America. And so it was great to be able to be there for her. She eventually, like, we walked together through this whole process, and she spent many, many afternoons in my office, and she got accepted to a university in Canada and is there now. So, you know, I can't say I've had huge challenges. People are just hungry for help and happy to receive it.
That's awesome. Well, praise God for that. That's, you know, definitely a praise item. And as you both look forward to the future in your different roles, how can we pray for you guys? How can we pray for the next steps that you're taking?
I think we would love to have you pray for just God's guidance in what we do in the future, that he would continue to help us to be really fruitful and to really see his kingdom grow in Western Africa. There are so many people there and so many languages that just do not have any resources or any way to hear about the gospel and our Lord Jesus Christ. So just pray for fruitfulness and that he would guide us and continue to allow us to make a contribution in this area and be part of his kingdom. It's such an amazing blessing that we are able to do that and be used by him.
And for me, well, I'm going through training to become a career specialist. And so that, coupled with working on my master's, sometimes my brain gets a bit saturated. So just that I could learn well and be able to help those who need to have career advising to find their roles within the organization and to have the greatest impact.